Sure Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Well, shalom, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and welcome to this week's Torah Tidbit. This week, our Torah Tidbit is taken from the Torah portion called Behalotcha, which means when you kindle. And it's referring to the kindling of the seven-branched lampstand, the menorah. And so as our portion begins, it is speaking of the kindling or the arranging of the different lights that were upon the menorah. And so we begin reading in Numbers chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and say to him, when you arrange the lights or the lamps, or when you kindle the lamps, that is, the seven lamps, shall give light in front of the lampstand." And Aaron did so. He arranged the lamps, or he kindled the lamps, to face toward the front of the lampstand, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, of course, if you know your Bible, then you know that this is not the first mention of the menorah, of course, but this is the time that it's mentioned after a huge expression of thanksgiving. And by that, I mean an elaborate offering on the part of the tribal princes. Now, consequently, the rabbinical thought is that after this thanksgiving or this offering of thanksgiving, Aaron is informed that not only offerings, but lighting a light is to be viewed as an expression of thanks. And one, I might add, that has long-reaching effects. That's why, for instance, the kindling of lights at Hanukkah. Not only does it commemorate the rededication of the temple and the celebration of cleaning out all the things that were pollutants, but lighting lights at Hanukkah is an expression of thanksgiving unto God for bringing God's people victory over their adversaries. Now, that in turn is to suggest that spiritual conquest, overcoming our adversary, is not achieved exclusively anyway by physical means. The prophet Zechariah expressed it this way in chapter 4, verse 6. "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Of course, the Spirit of God is to be understood as being synonymous with the seven-branched menorah. We can read about that in the book of Revelation in chapter 4, verse 5, and it says this, "And from the throne," that is the throne of God, "proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." And so we learn that spiritual conquest is not achieved by might nor by power, but it is by God's Spirit, which is to say that spiritual victory, that is, overcoming the adversary or overcoming a carnal desire, that adversary can be a man, it can be a principality, but to overcome is not achieved through violence, but by being a light, which, by the way, is the mission and the mandate that is given to God's people. Now, because light illuminates the darkness, ironically, light needs darkness. It needs it in order to stand out. I've oftentimes used the analogy of what it would be to light a menorah and then put it on a crowded street in broad daylight, and as people are scurrying by, inquire how many people actually notice it. Because usually people are busy attending to their daily routines and most likely wouldn't notice it. But then to take that same menorah, that same light, and then to put it on that same busy street, except this time, do it as it's beginning to grow dark. And then ask how many people are likely to notice it. And chances are, many people will see it, and they will take note of it, even though it's the same light. The only difference is the environment has changed. It's grown dark. And that's why I say that light needs darkness if it's going to be truly appreciated. Now, in relation to our mission, that is, to be a light in the darkness, to be a light to the nations, ancient rabbis quote a very interesting passage that is from the prophet Isaiah, and it's found in chapter 42, beginning at verse 3. "A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. In other words, what this seems to be saying is that justice and truth cannot be attained through aggressive and brutal means, but only through the agency of being a light, by being one who understands that when darkness comes, then it is time to truly shine, because the God of all flesh is about restoration and He's about life. And so in regard to the passage from Isaiah, the Gospel of Matthew actually quotes it when referring to the Messiah. He takes that same verse and relates it to the mission of Yeshua, who, by the way, is the light of the world. And so it's recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 12, beginning at verse 18, and it reads this way, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the nations," or to the Gentiles. "He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets." And this is the point we want to emphasize here. "A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles," or the nations, "will trust." And so to me, this verse seems to say that first and foremost, Messiah's methods for advancing the kingdom was not by means of debate or shouting others down or tearing others down, not taking up arms. He didn't do that where his enemies were concerned. His method for advancing the kingdom was to go about and do good and to do what was right in the Father's eyes. And by that we mean he was a light in the midst of the darkness. And so then when he encountered a bruised reed, in other words, someone who had been injured and who was wilting and fading away, he didn't snap it off and put it out of its misery. And so then what is implied by that is that he mended it. He worked with it so that it would heal, because he's about light and he's about life. And so then if he encountered a candle or a lamp that was beginning to go out, a smoldering flax, and it was reduced to nothing but a little wick with just a little bit of a spark, he didn't snuff it out and extinguish that flame for all time. No. Instead, he breathed upon it very gently in order to rekindle the light so that it might be a light to others later on. Again, because the Messiah is about life and light, and that is our example, and that is our standard. And so then, it shouldn't come as a surprise to us that when Aaron kindled, or when he arranged the lights on the menorah, it was so that they might face toward the front of the menorah, it says. Or in other words, all the other lamps would be facing the central, or the main lamp. That is the one from which all the other lamps received their light. And so when this was done, when all of the lights of the menorah concentrated toward that center light, the effect was said to be one that the menorah as a whole gave off a combined blaze of light that illuminated the entire of the holy place. And so I hope that you see where we're going with this. This is to teach us that our attention should be centered on God's service, and I would say God's methods. In other words, if the Messiah, who is that center or central lamp, and who is the light of the world, if he's the one that we are to focus upon, then not only should we emulate his function, and that is to be the light of the world ourselves, but I believe it says that we should also emulate the way that he accomplished that. That would mean then, if I see a bruised reed, I shouldn't break it off and put it out of its misery. Instead, I should do like the Messiah and try to mend it. If I see a smoldering flame, I shouldn't blow it out for all time, but like the Messiah, I should try and rekindle it, that the flame might be a benefit for someone else one day. You see, if we're going to accomplish our mission, if we're going to be the light of the world, then it can't be by might. It's by light. The light of His Spirit being kindled in us that we might shine for the sake of others. Well, that's it for this week and this Torah Tidbit. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time. Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a Bill Cloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.